Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, or welcome to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. Hour number two, Rapid Fire Friday. Oh, boy, a lot of economic data this week that just keeps getting better and better and better and better. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask Ian. I forgot. Ian, can you see if you can round up the ISM service sector number? It was supposed to be out at 10 o'clock, so I don't know. Maybe it's crossed your ticker there. You can get a look at that and let me know when you have it. Anyway, that's going to be the last piece of economic data that we are going to really care about this week. I'm not saying it's the only thing that's going to come out yet today, but it's the one thing that we're going to talk about and kind of wrap up the week with. And by the way, non-farm payrolls came in 263,000. 263,000, yes. 263,000. That is an amazing number, and needless to say, it is beat any kind of expectations by over 65,000. That is an amazing number, and it is just the incredible, it is the icing on the cake for this week. What do you have, Ian, on the service sector? Yep. ISM non-manufacturing.
So the last number was 56.1%. That was for March. For April, it actually dropped down 0.6 points. So it's at 55.5% currently.
Okay, 55.5. Great. Okay, thanks, Ian. Good stuff. You know, so 55 drops down. That's practically nothing. But here's the point, folks. Anything over 50 indicates expansion in the economy or expansion in the service sector. Now, we also had this week, just to be fair about good numbers, we also saw the manufacturing number drop slightly as well. It's okay. It's still well into expansion mode, and that's all that matters. So no real movement, no real news. This number will have zero impact on what is happening in the markets. And it still has a positive impact on what is going on with the underlying fundamentals, the fundamentals of the economy, And, you know, just to draw a little bit of difference when we look at where we are with the economy today, I have been saying the very opposite of what I've been saying for so long. About the underlying fundamentals of the economy. If you remember, for the 8 years during the Obama administration, for the last two years of the Bush administration, I had been talking about what underlying fundamentals of the economy. And in from 2010 on, we heard economist after economist, all of course with a liberal slant and liberal blinders on, were saying, well, this was all they said. You know, people don't realize it, but the underlying fundamentals of the economy are still good. And it was interesting because they never mentioned any numbers. And I would say, I don't care what anybody says, the underlying fundamentals of the economy stink. And they're every bit as bad as they were at the height of the recession. There's nothing good about the underlying fundamentals of the economy. I wasn't saying that as an indictment to the administration. I was saying that as a point of fact. So they were trying to find some sort of foundation to say, look, the markets are good because the underlying fund, it's not just cheap money. It's not just the quantitative easing. It's not just the Federal Reserve. Things are really getting better in the economy. Well, it was comical as they were talking about those things, because there was nothing further from the truth than that. So now, frankly, since the week after the last presidential elections, I've been saying,
two minutes to
the underlying fundamentals of the economy are screaming into very good territory, and they've been doing it since then. So amazing, amazing numbers. The Council for Economic Advisors has been tweeting all morning long, breaking down the numbers. Of course, the unemployment rate fell to a 50-year low to 3.6%. The last time we saw this was in 1969, was when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. That was the last time we saw an unemployment number this low. Frankly, an unemployment number this low is not very healthy. We don't necessarily like seeing this at almost 1% lower than full unemployment. But here's the amazing part. Where are these people coming from? 263,000 jobs, where are they coming from? I mean, the labor participation rate has changed, has gotten better for the last 2 years, but not that much better. How's this happening? I've got an answer for you that nobody else seems to be answering. The answer is what we totally are missing here is that the numbers were cooked for 8 years. Well, that's a horrible accusation. Well, I'm just telling you, the numbers had to be cooked. These people aren't just appearing. Anyway, we'll get back to that, but we want to go to the Ag Report. Craig Haggard's with us. We'll get an update for all of our rancher and farming friends.
This is Craig Haggard. Here we go. Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the corn market traded both sides of the board yesterday before closing mixed. The nearby contracts were higher and the deferreds were lower. Much of the Midwest is still experiencing below normal temperatures and above normal precipitation, which could reflect in further planting delays in next Monday's crop progress report. Weekly export sales were terrible at 23.1 million bushels, and that helped limit the upside yesterday. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading unchanged. Soybeans were lower yesterday. The day got off to a rough start when the weekly export sales report showed only 11.5 million bushels of sales for the week. Also adding pressure is the fact that there's still no trade deal with China in place, and some reports have stated that we're now approaching the point of deal or no deal. This adds pressure to the large carryout held by the U.S., and as a result, we had both old and new crop soybean futures putting in new life of contract lows during yesterday's session. In the overnight trade, we're seeing a little bit of a bounce with the spot soybean futures trading up 3 cents. The wheat markets were higher across the board yesterday as they continued to bounce off contract lows. The strength in wheat is largely due to short covering. The export sales were below expectations at a very poor 4.5 million bushels. The wheat quality tour concluded yesterday, and they estimated the wheat yield in Kansas is going to come in at 47.2 bushels per acre, which is well above the five-year average of 40.2 bushels per acre. In the overnight trade, Chicago is 2 cents lower, while Kansas City is down a half cent, and Minneapolis is trading 4 cents lower. Cotton futures had a rough session, with July futures down 126 points to close at 75.45. I won't be surprised if we test the support around $74 sometime in the near future. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 27 points higher as they bounce back a little bit from yesterday's losses. Livestock futures were a mixed bag, with cattle lower and hogs stronger. June live cattle were 20 cents lower for the day, while August feeder cattle were down $1.32.5. June lean hogs closed $1.52.5 higher, and in doing so filled the gap that we've been watching. Class 3 milk futures had a nice session.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
You know, we're gonna go to calls. It's Rapid Fire Friday. If you want to queue your call up, 844-707-5533. Let me just finish my thoughts real quick. I was talking about the Economic Council of Advisors and some of the things that they have been tweeting out this morning, just breaking down the numbers. And one of the things, and when we get some things directly from the Council for Economic Advisors, that we're not hearing about, obviously, in mainstream media for obvious reasons when I give you the number. And one of those things are, some of those things are this, when we look at the numbers. First of all, the nominal average earnings continue to grow to a strong 3.2% over the past 12 months. I think strong 3.2% is a understatement. Strong doesn't do that justice, because you've got to put it into perspective and comparison to the last 16 years. So strong, 3.2%, is an understatement. We're looking at the ninth consecutive month of year-over-year wages up of or above 3%. The unemployment rate among adult women, those 20 years of age and older, the unemployment rate for that class, adult women over 20 years of age, fell by 3.1%. Let me think. Surely President Obama had numbers like that, right? Because he would, you know, they always, the Democrats were always, you know, very concerned about women in the workforce. Not even close, in case you're wondering. So you won't hear this on mainstream, in any of the mainstream media outlets. By the way, that rate that I just told you about of women over the age of 20 falling to 3.1% is the lowest rate since about the middle of the Obama administration. No, that is not the case at all. It's the lowest rate since 1953. The unemployment rate for Hispanics fell to 4.2%, the lowest rate since 1973. That's when they begun keeping this statistic. The unemployment rate for veterans fell by just over half a 1 percentage point to 2.3%, the lowest since 2000. I don't want to talk too much about this, because I'll tell you why. I am going to start getting concerned, actually I'm starting to get concerned, that you and I even, we may get complacent when it comes to November 2020. I'm concerned that if we keep hearing all this good stuff, that we're going to get complacent. I don't know that November 2020, we will get celebratory. I think we may get complacent. Now, if we can keep talking about this and we can become more celebratory as we head into the voter booth, then that's all, I'm all for it. But I don't want the complacency to keep us away from the voting booth. Oh man, we got this, there's no problem. We can't get complacent, because we got to get back the House of Representatives. We've got to add seats to the Senate, two critical, critical parts of the upcoming elections. You have seen already just a tiny, tiny, tiny snapshot of what it's like to have a Congress controlled, and trust me, it's being controlled by the socialists. How does that feel? And this is just the beginning, and it doesn't feel too good. We have to say goodbye to all of those, and let's get back to some sort of strength. So we can't grow complacent. Just keep that in mind. But the numbers are amazing. They continue to be so. 844-707-5533. Let me go back to the phones. We're going to stay with phones. It is rapid fire. Let me go to Rocky. Rocky's calling us from Texas. Hey, Rocky.
Hey, Dan. How you doing? God bless you. Many blessings to you.
Thank you, brother.
You know, I'm one of those people that when you were screaming in the wilderness to get in, I got in January, and I thank you so much because we've done so well since then.
Oh, that's great.
But I do have a couple of questions. You had been announcing that some new items were coming out, and since the ETF came out to me, I think, a little bit early, do we have anything else coming out this next week?
No, not in the next several weeks. The only thing now that I am working on, Rocky, future calls, I'm really working hard on trying to add to the preferred list. And it's just getting harder and harder every day. Every time I think that we're getting close to maybe adding two or three, it falls apart with my last bit of analysis to get it on. So that's really right now what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on some of those income stream things. But I think pretty much the list that we have, the broad list and the buy list that we have today, are pretty much going to be around with very, very little changes for some time.
Okay. One last question. The sure. MA55 is down only a dollar. But if it continues to go down, at what point can I down cost average?
Oh, I don't think you're going to get a chance to. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if you heard the first hour of the program, but I talked specifically about that industry and what is going on. I was reading a tweet from President Trump. So that particular company, MA55, is spending over $5 billion on renovating one of their plants and continuing to grow. And I might add, it's probably the first time in 15 years that company has done anything like that. They're very confident about where, not only where the economy is going, but where their industry is going. And that report came out this morning, that report came out late last night about what they were doing. And I would suspect, I have not looked at the stock at all. So we'll see.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. Again, many blessings to you and your family and for the work you do for the ministry. And we did donate to Preborn a couple of times already, and we're so happy about it.
Oh, that's great. Rocky, thank you so much for that. You've made my day. I really appreciate your encouragement and the work that you've done with Preborn, and really appreciate your support to our ministry so that we can continue to stay in the fight. Thank you so much, Rocky.
Bless you.
God bless you. All right, let me go to, let's see, where are we here? I lost it. Who do we have, Ian? Robert. Let me go to Robert from Texas. Go ahead, Robert.
How are you this morning, Mr. Dan?
I'm doing good, thanks.
What I'm called to ask about, I didn't start investing until I was 40. I'm 54 now. I put 17% of my income into my 401k at work. Of course, they only match 6%. Should I continue to do that, or should I maybe open a Roth and take some of that percentage and move it out of my 401k?
Yeah, I would I would begin to open a different account. Robert, I'd like to see you continue to put in the 6% and get the match. match, of course. Now, I'm making an assumption here, Robert, just to tell you before I finish my comments here. I'm just making an assumption that you do have a desire to be biblically responsible or to get that way in the future. So with that in mind, I would continue to do the match. But there's two reasons. One, that I want you to change and move, maybe open up a Roth, or don't open up any retirement account. Open up a just an investment account at this point, since you've been maxing out your 401k for so many years. And the two reasons I want you to do it, I want you to begin the process of with a lot of your contribution that you're putting in to focus on being biblically responsible. That is the main reason. The other reason is you are at the perfect age to be switching over to try to do this, because I want you to now begin the process of learning how all this works. Just do it gradually. Understand how your new, wherever you would open up this brokerage account, goes, how it works, following along with our allocation model and our buy list and those kinds of things. Because someday when you retire, you're going to be rolling over that 401k over to the same brokerage firm in an IRA account, and you're going to at that point feel very, very comfortable with doing that, and very, very comfortable with how the system works and how to manage that. And I would rather you... Folks, we got lines open, rapid fire. We're going to stay with phones for the next hour and a half. We'll take as many calls as we can. That's why we call it rapid fire. We ask you to just get right to the point. Remember, keep in mind, there's a delay, so don't be afraid of the silence, that you don't hear me immediately, because there's, when I say silence, I'm not talking about 10 seconds. It's about 1 second. Worst case would be 2 seconds. So just hang in there and pay attention to that. Just make sure you're okay with it. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Anthony. Anthony's calling us from Texas. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I appreciate all you do for the cause of life, you know, and with the preborn campaigns. It's really encouraging to see you stand for that. I called about a month ago about HB 890.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, did I lose you, Anthony? Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got you. I got you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. And so, the committee is still in the committee, and he has not brought it up to a vote, Chairman Leach. The deadline to bring it up to a vote is on the 5th of May, so it's coming up here fast. And so I just appreciate prayer that his heart would be changed and that he would bring it up to a vote and support it. One of the main reasons he's giving for not supporting it is because after the anyone who has abortion after it's passed is held accountable. The mother is. It equalizes the law, and it basically says a baby is a baby, is a human being and has equal rights under the law. And so he's using that kind of as a cover to not support it. But I'd appreciate if people would pray that his heart would be changed. And I encourage people, you know, to call Representative Leach and read the bill, you know, to see if you agree with it, you know, to go encourage him to support it. I have the phone number, if you're okay with me giving that out, of Representative Leach.
Sure.
It's 512-463-0544. So he's the chairman of the committee that needs to pass the committee in order to get to the House. And so for those in Texas, just, you know, look at the bill, and encourage you to give him a call. And for those who aren't, just pray for this bill that abortion would just be, you know, done away with in the U.S. and in the world as well.
Amen. Anthony, thank you for that. I appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate your work on it. Keep working on it. Keep staying in the trenches. And most importantly, let's keep calling about it. We have a huge, huge listening audience in Texas. I hope that this was a great call to action to get this thing passed, and call Representative Leach at that phone number, 512-436-0544. Urge him to sign this bill, and stop making excuses for the minority of people that are in Texas that don't want it, because he's cowtailing to the minority, not the majority, and his job is to represent the people of his district and for the state of Texas. So I hope that that will happen, and sure appreciate Anthony, 844-707-5533. I'll tell you something. We are doing a great cause. Not we here, Financial Issues. We, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are doing a great, great work, folks. And I'm telling you, we're putting a hurting on the industry, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Yes, of course, here at Financial Issues, we are doing it through Preborn and with Preborn, along with Preborn, and along with some wonderful, wonderful people that are in the battle with us in that great, some of them are using the monies that God has blessed them with to work every day and as hard as they possibly can to get a little bit closer to eradicating the murder of babies that has been going on. 60 million and another 1.2 million this year if we don't slow it down. And I believe we slowed it down last year. I believe we slowed it down the year before, and we are going to slow it down even in a bigger way this year. Every year we slow it down more and more, and we're not the only organization out there that is working to slow it down, I'm sure. So we are pushing back the darkness, and we desperately need as many soldiers as we possibly can get for that effort. So you can come alongside us. There's a baby bottle on the front page of our website. We have a big push on through Mother's Day for this. To people, $28, you can sponsor one of the scans. I don't have to tell you, these pregnancy centers are working on a shoestring. You know, it's difficult. And now that they have, because of this campaign, And an incredibly generous donor, for every 100 scans that have been sponsored, this donor has provided an entire ultrasound machine for a center on the waiting list to get an ultrasound machine. And we have managed to take all 10 centers across the country that were on the waiting list off, and they will be getting ultrasound machines. And that was because of this donor and because of you. And we want to continue now to supply them with the cost to sponsor 150 scans at each one of these 10 centers. And we're only about 300 away from doing that. So we hope that for $28, you will come alongside us and make this happen. We are doing this through Mother's Day. This is going to be the best Mother's Day for tens of thousands of babies ever, 2019, because of this work. And our goal is to allow as many young ladies to know the joy of motherhood and to protect their life, or to extend that joy of motherhood to someone that is waiting to adopt a baby. But most importantly of all, making sure that that child lives to have an opportunity to impact the kingdom and to impact the United States for good. So we are so excited about the work, and we hope you'll join us. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Alabama. Hey, David.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for your taking my call, and we're just so grateful for your teaching and educating us on how to invest. We've been a partner with you 5 to 10 years, somewhere in that 7-year range, and have progressed to you know, biblically responsible investing. I'm just so grateful for the education
that
you've given
Thank
us.
Thank you.
I've got a TD Ameritrade account, and want to do a charitable gift out of my required minimum distribution. The form indicates checking required minimum distribution or normal distribution, and I'm being advised to just check normal distribution and a partial cash. Is that correct?
No, that does not sound correct to me. Now, is this a form that indicates that the TD Ameritrade will be sending a check to these ministries?
That's
themselves?
Exactly right. So I know what my required minimum distribution is calculated. And my concern is if I don't check that required minimum distribution box, does the government just think that this is a normal distribution, and I don't select any taxes to come out of that cash?
Right, right.
And
so
they're saying
what,
as long as I meet the total required minimum distribution sometime during the year, that I'm okay. But I'm a chemistry instructor, and things have to be exactly right for me. So I have a concern there.
So I would have a concern, too. I think you're right to have the concern. First of all, let me just tell you that you don't have to, and I think you probably already know this. Let's say your minimum required distribution is $1,000 and you want to give $200 to your church. You can do that. You don't have to give the $1,000. You can give the $200 and then take $800 as normal minimum required distribution. So I want you to know that it doesn't matter. And if your minimum distribution is $1,000, and you want to give $100,000 to your church, you can do that and still be tax-free. So you can do any amount you want up to $100,000. And of course, whatever amount you do is going to count against your minimum required distribution and take care of that. Okay, so I wouldn't be too concerned about that, but if you take possession of the money, then it's going to be counted to you as a normal distribution. You're going to have to pay tax on it. As long as what you
process. I've got your instructions really well taken care of because I want the check. You know, I can do the check and an alternate address, and it never will come to me.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
844-707-5533 if you want to queue your call. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We're going to stay with calls for the next hour and 15 minutes. So queue your call up, 844-707-5533. I'll be back in the studio Monday. I'm looking forward to that. Of course, this is our last day here in Montana. We are finishing up our classes, Glacier Bible College. If you're a young student, if you're graduating high school, if you're a parent or a grandparent that want to jumpstart your child's education and they would be interested in spending a year at Glacier Bible College to get some foundational truths that are really powerful under their belt, have an incredible time here in a magnificent place on the mountains in the edge of Glacier National Park. Boy, it's a great place to do it. You can check them out at glacierbiblecollege.org, glacierbiblecollege.org. And you get some information. If you would be thinking about it for fall semester, you got to kind of move pretty quickly, and it's a very small atmosphere. Obviously, it's very much a family atmosphere, and so there's not a lot of room. They don't take a lot of students, and I don't know what they already have registered. I never asked them that question. Anyway, check it out. All right, let me go back to phones. Let me go to Sherry. Sherry's calling us from Texas. Hey, Sherry.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about TIAA, TIACREF. I'm drawing Texas Teacher Retirement right now, but I have this one. I don't really know how I got it. I only have a $1,300 in it, but over the years they keep sending me statements. I think at some point it should have been rolled over to Teacher Retirement because it came through a work at a community college, but it didn't get rolled over. Other money did, and so I don't know what to do with this. I don't know if I should just cash it in because that's $1,300, or if I should save it, or if I should go back to the college and say, why do I have this? I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be eligible to be rolled over in all likelihood to your teachers, and that's why I didn't go there. That is actually money that either you contributed. Maybe you don't remember that. Maybe it came out of your paycheck and you didn't even notice, or they contributed on your behalf when you were working there. And I would suspect that they might have contributed to the TIAA side of the TIAA CREF. If they did that, then you can only take that money out, that $1,300 or whatever it is, you can only take that out over a period of 10 years. So, or you can just tell them to put it into their annuitize and, you know, leave it at that, and they'll send you a check every year for whatever it earns. That's probably what I would recommend you do, just do that. If I'm wrong about that and it's on the CREF side, then you can just tell them to send you a check and cash out of it, so and be done with it. But if it's on the CREF side, but I'm suspecting that it's not. So call them, you know, find out, just get some clarification, and tell them how can I get that money, and they're going to say something like, well, you can get it out a little bit over 10 years, or we can just go ahead and annuitize it or whatever, and you can get a little bit of income, and that income's probably going to be, I don't know, $10. You know, a year for the rest of your life or something. But nonetheless, you want to do that.
Okay, and then one other question. I am working part-time and drawing Teacher Retirement. I am 64 this month, and I haven't saved money throughout my life like I should have, but I've been able to save $16,000. That's all I have right now. And I'm wondering, since I'm working part-time, I'm able to put a little money somewhere. Should I continue to save, or should I put it toward my house principal, which I still owe 80-something thousand on? It's on a 15-year. It'll be paid off in 9 more years. Should I put it on the principal? Or I actually have a student loan because I went back late in life and earned my PhD, and so I still owe $18,000 on a student loan. It's at 3.5 interest, and my house is at 3.5 interest. And I'm just wondering, with the extra money I'm making part-time, where my priorities should be, savings, house, or school loan?
So I would make your priority school loan, but I don't want you to use all of that $16,000 to put it towards that, because I don't want you to be without savings. I think it's important that you have some savings just in case, you know, there is a major repair in your home or your car or something like that. I don't want you to have to get into debt to fix whatever that major repair might be. So I would not have a problem with you taking, you know, $8,000, putting it towards your student loan, and then whatever you are saving right now, let's say you save, $200 a month, then put $100 to savings and put $100 to the principal of the student loan.
So work that way on it. So your 100 is still building up your savings back up again, and that's good. And your student loan is getting a little bit of an added a benefit by more principal, and you'll probably have that paid off in no time after you make that $8,000 payoff just to principal. And that's what I would focus, and that's how I would do it.
More than the house, even though the house costs more, right?
Yeah, I would. I would do it because I like attacking the smaller thing first, because it's going to, you know, what's going to happen is when you get that student loans paid off, needless to say, it's going to free up a lot of discretionary income for you. And, you know, now by now, you'll have 7 years left on the home, and you can start putting money with that new income that you're receiving now by not having to pay your student loan. You can start putting that towards principal of your mortgage, maintain your savings, and you'll probably have your mortgage paid off at that point in about 4 years. And I think that would be a better strategy for you.
Hey, okay, thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Sherry. I'm glad you called. I appreciate it. Let me go to Roy. Roy's calling us from Michigan. Hey, Roy.
Hey, I want to thank you for being a man we not only trust, but we respect. And you've got a great ministry. My question is, I'm just over 50. We've pretty much been one income all of our lives raising our kids, and we struggled, and I started flipping properties, and now I purchased some duplexes. They're kind of higher-end duplexes, and I got them just about all paid for, and I'm wondering about, I thought I heard somebody mention something about some type of a, over a certain age. Uh-huh.
Yeah, can you tell me again some type of what? I you dropped out on me there for a second, Roy.
I thought I heard somebody say something about a fast track 401k that you're at a certain age you're allowed to invest a lot more than normal.
Yeah, so it's not a lot more, but once you reach the age of 50, you can, they have what they call makeup provision. And so the amount you're normally allowed to put in is increased by $1,000 a year. So you can now put in an IRA or a retirement account, like some sort of IRA, you can put more money into it, $7,000 into that. So a year. Now, you said 401k. Are you speaking about a work? Do you work and have a 401k at a job?
Well, from my previous employer, I have a 401k. That's in Vanguard, and I have not touched that. Okay. But now I'm just trying to figure out, you know, at 50, what's the maximum amount for me, and then my maximum amount that we would be allowed to either have in a 401k or a Roth. I don't have an employer match or anything.
Right. Yeah, it would be $7,000. $7,000. And in the case of your wife, so is she still working at home? Is she in the workforce now?
No, she's now in the workforce. Okay. Our kids are growing.
Because to open a Roth, you need to have earned income. So that would be the way to go. I would suggest that you use a Roth and open that up and start contributing to it. So $7,000. Yeah.
Okay, now that's per person, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yes,
okay.
Per person.
All right, well, thank you so much.
All right, Roy, thank you, and thank you for your encouragement. I sure do appreciate it. God bless. Folks, I know some of you